Hey, thank you so much for joining us today on From Start to Finish podcast with Christina Faith. I am your host, Christina Faith, where we inspire people to live authentically and start and finish their dreams. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Christina Faith here with From Start to Finish at ChristinaFaith.com, where we inspire you to start and finish your dreams. Today, we have this incredible young gentleman here. We have Michael E. Street, better known as Mr. Mike Street from MrMikeStreet.com. He is a senior digital and social media marketing director from New York. And today, we're just going to hear some of the things that he's worked on, some of the encouragement he gives us, and some of the strategies that he can overwhelm us with concerning his own practices and how we can possibly implement those into our own. So, Mr. Mike Street, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, everybody out there, I'm Mike Street, of course. I've done so much over the years, it's kind of hard for me to talk about myself. Mm-hmm. But in a nutshell, I'm a digital strategist. And if you don't know what that means, it's kind of like I kind of like to consider myself like a marketing whisperer, mm-hmm. Kind of like the dog whisperer. And, I'm able to come in and kind of look at a brand and see what they're doing in a digital perspective. Mm-hmm. And then I develop a strategy for the brand to get to point A to point B. So if a lot of brands are really looking for growth and how can they make more revenue or how can they reach a particular audience better. So I really help a lot with, doing that. And so some of the people I've worked with, over the years, has been Oprah Winfrey and the OWN TV network, Tequila Avion. I worked a lot for different hotel brands like the Standard and the Mondrian here. I was one of the hotels that I helped open in New York City. And so right now, I used to work for this guy named Gary Vaynerchuk about a year ago. And
yeah,
then
he's like the ultimate strategist right now.
he's a fun guy. Yeah. I like to hear for him. He's very energetic. Uh-huh. It was funny because I didn't even know who he was. And I was like,
really?
Call. Uh-huh. And I was like, who's this Gary Vaynerchuk guy? So I looked him up on YouTube and saw all of his videos. And I was like, he seems a little crazy. So
he is, but it works for him.
Hit it off, yeah. Like when we met, we kind of like hit it off with each other, and mm-hmm. He's always been a cool, supportive person. And we still chat and speak with each other today. And so I worked with him for about a year, and then I kind of left working for him, and have been on my own ever since. So one of the projects that I was really excited to work with after I left with Gary was working on Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. and helping them with their final season and a lot of social media strategy for them. So right now I kind of work with a lot of TV clients, mm-hmm. in the TV space, and then work for just anybody who's really looked to kind of like change up their strategy. A lot of people are confused about what this whole social media stuff is all about. So I'm really trying to help figure it out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's so key, is that we need people to teach us how it actually works, because a lot of people feel like, oh, Twitter's been around 6, 7, almost 10 years now, actually. But the crazy thing is that it's still new to us. Like, we're all still learning. Even Guy Kiyosaki, he's like, I'm always learning. It's not, you don't get to a place with social media where you got it. Here is Mike Hollis featuring Chris Cobin's Bad Girls Club.
Girl, it's me and you. Feels like a dream, don't it? You ain't straight for my heart. It's like you had a beam on it. So I'ma tell the world, but I ain't tryna sing on it. I let the single ladies go, huh? Just to put a ring on it. Girl, I'm loopy for you. Let's go to a movie for two. Always tell me about these groupies of mine. Pay 'em no mind, I'm a groupie for you. You my MVP, girl. and it's about time. First date felt like prime, then I got the ring, it felt like LeBron. You cheer me on, no pom-poms, from nice fits to my long johns. You the bomb.com, now scratch that, you said dime bomb. You dropped that love bomb, you a bad chick, so I'm handcuffing. Them other dudes try to pop up, that's when your man come through spam busting, eh? Cause this our world, this is our habitat. Sometimes I take you for granted, and I need to be slapped for that. But I live to please God, so you know I'm focused. Oh, you changed your hair, girl? Well, of course I know.
Ooh, look at you, look at you. Looking in your eyes, I feel the world stop spinning. Ooh, look at you, you got me. Looking in your eyes, I feel the world stop spinning. Sometimes I feel the world starts spinning. Sometimes I feel the world starts spinning.
Yeah, you got it, girl. Why you think I'm stuck in love?
I'd rather
have you than diamonds.
Money can't.
Cause money can't buy me love. See, when we met, I'm like, she's all that. But she's out of my league. First place. Every date's like the first date. So what's that?
51st
date. Okay, while you were sleeping, I was thinking it's about time.
How did this passion start for you? When did you first realize that you were a strategist?
I want to say I've always been very strategic.
Okay. I was going to say, did it start when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Getting out of trouble and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been like in digital. I've never not, you know, okay. I never had a different career.
Okay.
You know, I really started working in digital in probably like 93. So I'm really, really old in this space. You know, like okay. When people really, you know, like I was on my college campus, I was building websites, you know, back in 93. I learned how to program, you know, pretty much in high school. You know, I was programming, you know, I learned C++ and COBOL and everything else, mm-hmm. and Fortran and Pascal. And, you know, so I could do a lot of coding, you know, before I even got to college. Mm-hmm. So when I got to school, you know, all this, the internet was still, you know, it was still new, it was still flourishing. And so, you know, I knew I wanted to work in that industry. So, it's for me, it's always just kind of been a natural progression, but I kind of started more on a code based focus, but I'm also like very creative, and that's mm-hmm. kind of like, and I suck at math. So it was just kind of a natural fit for me to kind of like make a transition into doing a strategy. I didn't start working in marketing until kind of like around 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I did 6 years at BET. Working in their digital department, but I was more of a creative there. So I was doing a lot of photography. I was doing a lot of video production work and doing a lot of celebrity interviews. And so then I was like, I kind of wanted to change. I really wanted to kind of expand upon what it meant to be digital.
Mm-hmm.
in this space. So I had got an offer from the Huffington Post to go lead their community, to be their main community manager. And then I also got an offer, like really on this same day, from a marketing agency, go and work on the Jim Beam brand.
Okay.
So, you know, the Huffington Post was still up and coming at the time. It wasn't what it was today. So, you know, I decided to do something really completely different. And so, I took the job in the marketing department. And so I did that for like 2.5 years. And that's kind of like where I kind of, evolved from being, you know, kind of a creative production person with mm-hmm. some coding skills into a strategist. And then so from that agency, I've kind of like always have worked in agency space since then. So I worked for... I worked for a company called MSL Group, which is a part of a big marketing conglomerate called Publicis Modem. And they have like, you know, they work with every brand. So I worked on all of the Procter & Gamble brands for about 2.5 years. So working on like Prilosec OTC and Pepto-Bismol. And I worked on my Black is Beautiful campaign. And then... And then so after that, I kind of transitioned to working for Gary, and then where I'm, you know, then where I'm at today.
You are moving. You are still moving, and there's so many more, so much more growth for you. I'm enjoying hearing everything that you're doing. Here's Have Mercy with He Is Able. Word of the internet, how do you remain authentic? Like, do you shift? Are you like a chameleon, or are you able to go in with a fresh perspective every time, and look away from it as opposed to looking directly at what they already have?
Like for me, I the way I really remain current and relevant is that I, you know, am a part of this space, and you know, like. For, you know, being African American in this industry, you know, we only make up about 2% of, you know, of this market, of this industry mm-hmm. as a whole. And so I try to remain like really active and really visible. Mm-hmm. And so I go to a ton of events throughout the year, you know, here in New York, but also across the country. And I'm always talking to people and meeting new people and really trying to, you know, just learn as much as possible. I read a lot of case studies and I study like a lot of brands just to see like, what are they doing? Like, how are they, you know, making, you know, how are they leveraging these, the social technologies that we have now and metrics mm-hmm. and everything else to really, you know, win big in their space. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting for me just to see like, you know, the people who I follow a lot are like people like Bonin, who works over at Mondelez International. And I think he really has nailed it, you know, with what he does with like the Oreo brands and Ritz. And he works mm-hmm. also a lot with Gary also. But they're able to really take their data and make programs for social that, you know, can actually move sales. And I think, you know, like at the end of the day, you have to figure out like, what are your goals and what mm-hmm. are you trying to accomplish? And I think those are the brands that, you know, really get it, you know, because I think a lot of people just like, hey, we're going to start this Instagram account. Mm. It's like, you know, but what's the purpose behind it? Or, you know, and it burns me just to see like a lot of brands, like, you know, I launch something and then like after 2 months, they don't see the results that they were looking for. And then they like just kind of dead it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important just to, you know, not to sit behind your computer all day. I think it's really important to, you know, be in the space and talking to people and just be, you know, be visible and be active and learn. Because you know, there's no school for social media for mm-mm. you to go to. I mean, no. You know, there are programs that are popping up here and there. Mm-hmm. I was actually reading yesterday about becoming a certified social media strategist, but it costs mm-hmm. like $5,000
to do what you're already doing.
yeah. But you know, so it's really about learning as much as you can.
I heard this song for the first time when I was in Puerto Rico, and I just love it. It's called Love Someone by Jason Mars.
It's a funny thing. Whenever I give it, it comes back to me. And it's wonderful to be giving with my whole heart as my heart receives your love. Oh, ain't it nice tonight we've got each other? Beside you, more than just a partner or a lover, I'm your friend. When you love someone, your heart beat so loud. When you love someone, your feet can't feel the ground. Shiny stars all see to congregate around your face. When you love someone, it comes back to you. In love is a funny thing, it's making my blood flow with energy, and it's like an awakened dream, 'cause what I've been wishing for is happening, and it's right on time. Oh, ain't it nice this life we've got each other.
What advice would you give to those wanting to follow their dreams, you know, because I feel like a lot of people, especially millennials, don't desire 9-to-5s, right? We are, we're the like the most unhappy workforce generation ever, but we're also one of the most proactive, innovative workforce generations ever. So it's like, you know, we came at a time where everything shifted and we're still trying to understand the shift. So what kind of encouragement could you give to those who are in the midst of shifting and they want to launch out there, but they're afraid to? What made you truly launch out to be, would you be more considered a freelancer, or how would you consider yourself?
Well, I think, you know, that brings up, you know, it's kind of an interesting point for me because, you know, I was someone who was just restless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was sitting in an office and I was like, I just don't want to do
this. This can't be life.
Yeah. And I felt like, you know, kind of felt like I was in a cage and I was like really like constricted to, you know, to working on just the clients I'm working on. And I felt like there's such there's a bigger world out there. And I think for me, you know, I had to really just say like, you know, today's the day. I'm like not going to be in this cage anymore. And I'm just going to like, you know, break free and do what I do. So I think like my best advice to people is to really like figure out the one thing that you want to really do and just be so laser focused about it that, you know, it consumes everything that you do. Like when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about like, you know, my business and my clients and, you know, how do I make everything better and how do I progress? And I think, you know, and a lot of people, you know, lack focus and clarity. And I think it's important to like really sit down and kind of, you know, look through everything that you like to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, like put it down on paper and then circle, you know, and then kind of like start Xing out things that, you know, are just kind of like clutter. And this, because I think you'll start to see like there's that one thing that you're like, if I could just do this, you know, I would be happy. And like for me, if, like the thing that made me most happy was not being in the office. You know, the thing that made me most happy was being able to travel around the country and meet different people and speak on in different panels and, you know, kind of share my knowledge. Because, like, again, there's no school of social media. And I've been doing this stuff for a long time. So I, like, have a lot of, like, you know, battle stories since, you know, I've seen gone through millions of dollars of spend with different brands, you know. So I have a lot of knowledge in my head. You know, I think, and especially for our community, when we really don't, you know, we don't get a lot of the jobs in this marketing space, I think it's important to have, you know, someone that you can reach out to and talk to and, you know, say like, hey, you know, what should I do in this situation? And so, like, one of the things I'm working on launching for 2015 is a podcast and kind of like school of thought. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be called Smart Brand Voices. And, mm-hmm. and what I really want to do is get, all the people I've met over the years, they are working on great projects, but a lot of them don't ever get the press and the PR and the shine that they deserve. You know, so I really want to just like highlight a lot of these people who are working on amazing projects, you know, but from a diversity perspective, you know, mm-hmm. I've been studying the podcast world for a long time and, you know, it's a vast array, which again, like
it's very few of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like I was just doing searches of like black podcasts, and yeah.
That's one of the reasons. You know, it's funny, right? Because I'm in like this transition with, you know, leaving not necessarily an office job, but I work for Apple, and I've been on disability, so I've had time to really like think more than ever before. And in the process of, you know, wanting to go back because I really love the company, but then also realizing that I don't see my face, you know, people who look like me anywhere. And it's not necessarily about, oh, black people need to do this and black people need to do that, but I think that we have a different perspective, just like an Asian. Like if you search the podcast, you know, our facial colors don't come up. Yeah, I can't find any podcasts of a female ranging from the age of 30 to 35 on a podcast right now. And very few, you know, unless it's like natural hair, very few blogs as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I think we definitely have a market available to us that's not just, oh, it's monetary, but it's also a place where we're really at that we can show that we have something that matters, not only to us as a people, but to others as well. So that brings up a very, very good point. I would definitely subscribe and listen to your podcast already. I'm like, yes.
Cool. Well, it's going to launch on January 19th.
Okay.
I set myself a date in stone. So I was like, oh, okay, now it's time to actually do this. So okay. I finished my artwork yesterday, and now I'm like working to make it happen.
If you're listening to this podcast today, what I need you to do is I need you to hashtag good soda love at Zevia Life or Zevia on Twitter or Instagram, and just add me as well, hashtag Christina Faith. And what I'll do for you is I'll enter you to win a free pack of Zevia. Zevia is great. There's absolutely no artificial sweeteners in it. I drink it. I love it. I probably drink about 2 cases a month, and it's just a great soda. It's the good soda love with absolutely no artificial flavors. This guy is just amazing. I heard him the first time with Misty Edwards. Here's David Brimer with Behold the King.
Thank you.
So what's the biggest challenge that you faced in the midst of the social media world, discovering your unique place in it?
Oh man.
I know. I ask those questions that you really gotta think, right?
Yeah.
And a part of it is there's so many challenges.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of challenges. But you know what, one thing I've been struggling with probably mm-hmm. over the past couple of years is, and again, like I've been in the space for, 15 plus years, but, it's really kind of like, still, as a African-American male, mm-hmm. Still getting people to actually realize that, I can,
mm-hmm. you can do this,
that I can, that I can actually work in this space mm-hmm. and that I'm hireable. Mm-hmm. And, it's because, this space in New York City is very competitive. And there's a ton of agencies out here. Probably every, major agency is headquartered out here in New York City. And so, it's pretty competitive. And like I said, we only make up 2% of the, of this industry. So, when I'm going on interviews, sometimes I get the feeling that I need to go back to work sometimes, and then I'll realize it's just not going to work out. Mm-hmm. But, sometimes when I go on interviews, it's like, I've worked with some major brands. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know what I'm doing. And, sometimes I feel like I'm just talking to a wall, when I'm on interviews. And so it's really kind of just about, me, and I think that's where, I mess myself up because get steered off of me being laser focused. So I think it's like, it's important for me to I think for me, going on job interviews just like helps me realize that I'm actually doing the right thing, that I don't need to work in this person's office or work for this agency. Like I should just do my own thing and really kind of figure out, how do I take it to the next level and monetize. So, for me, that's, one of the biggest challenges is, staying focused. Because when you work by yourself, it's like...
It's harder, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, to worry about 65 million different things that are happening mm-hmm. to you. And it's like, and you don't really... Sometimes you don't have anybody to bounce stuff off. It's just like, you have to do it. And I travel a lot, too. So sometimes it's like, I'm on this in transit and I have to worry about X, Y, and Z. So it's just really about staying, as organized mm-hmm. as possible.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. And how do you stay organized? I always like to find out how people stay organized, what apps they're using. If they're using apps, if you're still like, probably not because you're a media person. So what do you use? Like, what's your workflow like?
I'm a big list person. Mm-hmm. And so like for me, like, the day is done is when I have like an empty list. So I really try to like every day, like write down, like, here's the things I need to accomplish today. So if I need to write a proposal or if I need to make a call, mm-hmm. I try to list out, like, here's everything that's happening today and try to really, and then I try to tackle the smaller tasks first. Mm-hmm. So things that are really easy to kind of like get out the way.
Okay.
And then, because it helps you block, your time mm-hmm. throughout the day.
Definitely, definitely.
So I live by, I pretty much, Gmail is like my command center.
Yeah.
And so I'll just open up a blank page and like Google Drive and let's like make a list. So it's like, okay, I need to do all these things. Uh-huh. And then I make a list and then, and then I put like a lot of different things on my Google Calendar, so I'll get an alert. It's like, you should be working on this right now, or this is due.
Yeah,
So that really keeps me organized.
Yeah, I live off of Things now, the app Things, and I've been trying to find. I've searched for to-do lists for a long time, like to-do list apps. I've tried a lot, and I finally was like, well, let me give Things a try again, and it was like the absolute best thing. I'm like, why wasn't I using this in the first place? So I completely understand, where you're coming from a list perspective, because I'm all about the list. So my next question is, what do you do for fun? Because I know that that's something that, people who work for themselves or are part of startups and stuff like that, that's like a huge thing for us, is that, what do you do to relax, or even, what are some hobbies? Because a lot of times our hobbies turn into our businesses. So
yeah,
what do you do?
I mean, it's probably gonna be weird, but like, you know, doing what I do is fun for
me.
It is always you know, it all is always fun, but like for me to relax, like I love you know, just going out for a good meal. Like New York is restaurant heavy, so you know, like going out to like my favorite restaurant is like really relaxing. I like to also travel a lot, you know, so like any chance that you know, I can you know, go to a tropical island. I love the Caribbean, so any chance I can get to go to like Jamaica, or we just came back from Dominican Republic a couple of weeks ago, so you know, going out to some place and just seeing the sun. You know, I'm a summer baby. I was born in August, so you know, the cold is not my friend, and I really like to have sun. Like I've been trying to figure out like how can I live in Miami during the winter months, because I don't know if I can do another New York winter.
It's gonna be a New York winter. It's I feel it a brewing. I really do. So it's been great talking to you. Like I'm really encouraged, and I hope that the listeners are encouraged as well. And I thank you all for joining us. Check us out at ChristinaFaith.com. You can check Mr. Mike Street out at MrMikeStreet.com. Follow him on Twitter. He has amazing feeds that he posts of things that really could encourage your business as well as give you a different perspective. So thank you for joining us today. Man, I hope you really enjoyed today's talk with Mike Street. He just is a wealth of information and just goes to show that when you really apply yourself and you go after what you desire to do in your heart and it's the right thing, doors will open. So here up next is James Moss featuring 2103 with Every Day. Have a great day. Thank you for joining me on From Start to Finish.
Makes me wanna holler, I don't wanna bother. Am I really capable? Tired of second guessing you. Call it out, there we go. Should I go, should I stop? Do I jump, do I drop? Is it good, is it not? I'm at the fork in the road. I don't know which way to go. Tell me yes, tell me no. Standing at a crossroad, but never do I lose. Take a breather, fall back on the meter. Tryna be a leader. I'm tryna let some stuff go, but it's so tough though. Take my time, go slow. But since I am a believer, listen to my teacher, learn from the preachers. I took a few beatings, ain't nobody seated, living with a reason.